I can tell you this. I'm very fortunate to work with the people that I get to work with in this industry. And, you know, from the obviously the Scott and Dan and Mike Hull and the team of people that he puts together. And it's just, I'm the luckiest guy on the planet, I can tell you. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I talk to Mike every day on the phone or I see him and, you know, our emotions are up, down, sideways, left and right, and he's the guy that keeps it all steady and moving in the proper direction, and I'm just lucky to have him.
Mike, you know as well as anybody that you can have the best car, no question, on race day, but in particularly today's race, in which so many at times bizarre things happened and some contenders had problems, you know. It's just not easy to get to victory lane. And talk about your emotions and how they went during the day.
You're right about the question. We come here to the Indy 500 and we've been lucky enough to win and we've been lucky enough to finish at the front. This year we had speed. And speed was the denominator that we had this year with both Dan and Scott. And when you have speed as your ally, then it makes what we did today enormously easier. Because, you know, my heart goes out in a way to Vitor and Marco at the end of the race, because, you know what, we've been in that position. We know how hard it is to pass the guy that's leading the race. And those guys, they hung in there to the end, and they had a legitimate chance to win, and we've been in that position here. So as Chip spoke to we a couple of weeks ago in this room when we talked about the poll, somebody asked the question, and it's all about the people that prepare the cars to give Dan and Scott the opportunity to win big races. And we dedicate ourselves as a team to win big races, and we're thankful we did it today.
It's a pretty big one. Questions?
Both of you could kind of talk about the quiet confidence that Scott portrays in his craft. He always approaches, you know, his job as a driver, you know, with a lot of quiet confidence, and that kind of sets him apart from some people.
Yeah, he's been like that, you know, forever, ever since I've known him. I think, you know, at first, I didn't think he was that excited about racing or something, you know, when you first meet him, because, you know, he'd won so early in Indy cars in his career, and, you know, that quietness can people confuse that with caring about things, and that, you know, it's a relief to know that really wasn't what it is. It was a quiet confidence. You know, that sort of is the, you know, his trademark. And that's a powerful tool.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's indeed welcome the winner of the Indianapolis 500, Scott Dixon. Scott, congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds very good.
Chip, I don't know, in the back. Scott was up there tossing the milk around and going, you were off to the side, and I saw you taking a swig of milk. Just how good did that taste?
You know, it's tasted pretty good. You know, I that's something you know, in this business, there are a few things, you know, when you've been in this business as long as Mike and I have, there's a few things you get out of the business. One of them is trophies. One of them's rings, and one's a sip of milk. And, you know, outside of that, you don't walk away from this business with much else. So that's what's special about that.
Scott, you should have gotten married earlier. Man, this deal's agreeing with you. We can give him, I guess, some of the credit for this. But to all three of you, you all sat there, same spot 2 weeks ago, talking about being aggressive, coming here for pole day, being aggressive this year. Was the approach the same for race day here today?
Yeah, the whole month has, but it's tough to be aggressive when you don't have the equipment. And, you know, this year I think with everybody at the workshop people that stay, you know, back at you know, the workshop and don't come to the races. A lot of people that work hard on these cars to try and make them fast. But you know, this month for me was a month where you could be aggressive because you had the tools to do it, and I think that's what it came down to. Everybody's hard work, you know, in the off season and coming into the season. I think the team has been unstoppable almost, I think, with, you know, over the first five races. So it's nice to be aggressive, nice to have the confidence level, and even better to come away with a win like this.
Scott, I know you were a little reluctant even this week to you know, hang on that favorite. You said, you know, I don't even want to jinx us. We've been so fast, and we, you know, we should be looked at like that. Did the race go down? Did you feel once the race started, however, that you felt pretty good, that you were comfortable with the way things went, or was there ever a time where you were a little worried, or how did it kind of turn out?
I think I was worried going into the race, just because we had had such a smooth month. It was one of those things where you're sort of waiting for something to go wrong, and you know, we only had it coming down to the race day, and you know, it's the last day you want something to go wrong. But you know, I think going in, you always have high expectations, but in the back of my mind the whole time you're like, you know, what if we have a bad pit stop, or you know, we have a problem of some sort mechanically that's going to take you out of it, that's out of your hands. But that was, you know, I think there was no point in the race where I knew we were overconfident or you know, could win this thing easy. And especially to, you know, towards the end with maybe 20, 30, 40 laps to go, when you had sleepers like Mira come out, and he was super fast. He was super fast. So, you know, it's definitely guys like that. You can see Alio coming up. Marco, we knew all day, was fast. I think he had a problem in the pits at some point. But at no point did I think that we had this in the bag. And, you know, I was almost waiting for something to go wrong.
Scott, that kind of goes into my next question. You didn't think you had it in the bag. You're leading. You had some really good cars trying to chase you down last 20 laps or so. What was going through your mind?
The corner in front, man. That's all I was looking at each time was the next corner in front, you know, trying to look at that, you know, the with about four or five laps to go, the traffic was definitely going through my mind. We started to catch, you know, at least four or five cars, and I didn't want it to play out that way. You know, we got stuck behind one of them, because as soon as you lose momentum around here, those guys that are, you know, breathing down your neck are going to blow by you with, you know, a couple of laps to go. So I think for me was just, you know, I started going stiffer on the rear bar, putting, you know, the weight all the way to the left to try and make the car as fast as possible for those last few laps. But I think for me it was just always concentrating on the corner and trying to make a perfect lap every lap.
Scott, what were your emotions when you pulled in victory lane? You kind of looked a little, almost maybe shocked at first.
I was shocked. I think just, you know, almost dumbfound. Like it's such a strange feeling. And for me, I don't show emotions too much, and I don't know. It's almost like you're in a dreamland. It was quite crazy. You know, it's something that you sort of expect somebody to maybe pinch you, and you wake up and you're just sort of sleeping in your bed back at home. So it still hasn't sunk in yet, and it feels so special. I think the parade lap and seeing everybody still out there and driving around such a magnificent circuit, you know, with three other people with you, and everybody sort of yelling your name was something that I wish, you know, I'd witnessed previous to now, but you know, it just makes you want to go and win this race once again.
Chip, over here, Chip. Here you go. You made a lot of great news out of Indianapolis this month, and not a lot of great news out of Concord this month. Was there ever a time, two-part question, was there ever a time because of the kind of confusion down in Concord where you maybe question yourself, am I doing this right? And then how much does something like this, where you have a dominating car that actually delivers you this dominating win, say to you, okay, I am doing this right, and you know, whatever craziness is going on the other side there is craziness that's going to work itself out?
I feel like we have the right strategy, and I'm staying with that strategy. That strategy works in this company. Okay, so that doesn't faze me. I'm in this business to win races, period, in every car that we get into every week. End of story.
Scott. You know? Scott, at any time on that cool down lap, did you allow yourself any emotion? Did you, you know, have some that you can admit to doing? And I know, as you said, it's probably too early to tell, but I mean, you talked about always wanting to win this race. Just how big is it?
I was definitely yelling a lot on the radio, man, and punching my fist in the air, and I think I nearly took out about three cars on the cooldown lap that were trying to go around me because I was going so slow. But it's you know, you know everybody's different to how they throw their emotions out there, and you know it's such a special moment. But all you're wanting to do is get back to the pits and see everybody that helped you get there. You know, it's not just me; it's tons of people that worked on the team. It was Mike, it was Chip. You know, it filters down. And my wife Emma for cooking me pancakes this morning, kind of thing. So, it's you know, I think that's you know, you feel actually on the last 30 laps, you feel quite alone out there. You're like, oh shit, it's actually down to me on this. I better not mess up because I think I have everybody's given me the tools to do it, and it does fall on you a little bit there. But when you do win it, you just want to get back and see everybody.
Right. Scott, how much of this early season dominance you had, especially at Kansas and here today, how much of this can you trace back to the disappointment of that last lap last year?
Yeah, you know, I think it even goes back further than that. You know, we had the dominance of winning three races in a row and going for four and trying to, you know, chase down Dario for the championship. I think that's when it started. You know, we had a great... you know, everybody that, you know, everything that everybody was doing was just, you know, falling into, you know, the right place. Everybody was working well together, and we've carried on that confidence level and the success that we had at the end of last year, even though we didn't come away with a championship. But yes, and I think that combination with more determination after what happened has been, you know, what's helped us this season, I think. So, you know, it's a combination of a lot of things.
Scott, I'd love to claim your Australian heritage, but I'm sure you're very much a New Zealander.
How do I know
today?
You're going to start with that, man? How do I know you're going to start with that?
Got to get my little Aussie hat in there. No, but seriously, this is going to be one of the great sporting achievements by a New Zealander or New Zealand team. How does that make you feel?
Pretty special. You know, I think it's so hard to, you know, see that part. I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of support from New Zealand today, which I've never seen before. So, you know, winning the poll, I think, got a few people out here and I don't know. I think until I go, you know, go home, because you're so far away over here. You know, you just talk to people on the phone and do the occasional interview with you know, TVNZ over here. You know, it's hard to, you know, really feel, you know, what people have done for me down, you know, back in New Zealand, and definitely the support that I've had, and the, you know, the amount of people that helped me get to where I've been. But you know, it feels pretty special to be part of something that, you know, is going to go down in history books, and more so in New Zealand.
Well, of course, you'll not only be famous down there, but you're going to become a lot more well-known, probably famous here in the United States. And for a pretty quiet, private guy, that's going to be a big change for your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure will, but, you know, I'm fine with that. As long as we keep winning races, that's what's important to me. Okay.
While I got the mic, can I ask Chip? You've had a lot of good drivers through your stable, IndyCar stable, over the years. How good is Scott? Where does he rank?
Well, you'd have to say he's right up there. I mean, he's, if not there, I mean, he's, you know, the I've been blessed in this industry to work with great drivers, like I said earlier, and great people, and you know, today he's the one. It's that simple. And you know, the first two guys to call me, the first two guys in Victor Lane to call were Montoya and Franchitti, you know, and they said, hey, great job. And they asked me why I was drinking the milk before he was. So,
Scott,
I said,
if you could,
I didn't notice that. Yeah,
Scott, if you could shed a little light, you said you had pancakes with a blueberry chocolate chip, and also did you sleep well last night? I mean, can you kind of just tell us a little bit about what your night was like last night and also this morning?
Yeah, I did sleep well, actually. I went to bed early. We got woken up by that god-awful cannon that goes off at six in the morning. Dogs in the motorhome hit the roof, and they were barking after that. So, you know, it was up quite early. My lovely wife Emma made me just plain pancakes, American pancakes. Put a bit of butter on it, a bit of hot syrup. And that's about all I had, actually, before the race. But that was my morning. Bit of running around, but, you know, it was pretty simple today, and that's it was a nice way to start.
We kind of touched on it already, Scott, but second place last year, the mixed emotions that come along with that. How much did the disappointment of being so close to winning and not winning linger through this past year and even up into today?
the race last year, you know, I think if you're sort of pushing on to the 500 last year was kind of a strange day. To be honest, when I finished second, I still didn't feel like I'd done anything because it was a day of strategies. Not taking anything away from Dario, he was definitely fast and one of the guys to beat that day. But for me personally, it was just kind of one of those blah days. You know, nothing really came out of it for me. So I don't, you know, coming close in that circumstance didn't really play much on me. You know, I think you're disappointed no matter what unless you come away from this place winning it. But, you know, for me, the thing that was lingering more in our head was losing the championship so close and running out of fuel with a turn to go. That because it came at the end of the year, that lingered definitely over the off-season. But by that time, I'd forgotten about the 500 and where we finished.
Scott, I wondered if you've won the championship, you won the 500, what do you set your sights on now? What's the next goal?
Championship, man. We've got another championship to win this year. So, that's something that we start again on next week in Milwaukee. You know, having won a championship in 2003, that was a long time ago. So I need to get on my game and try and capture another championship for the team and everybody involved. You know, that's exactly what they want to do. You know, it's nice to... we're going to have great memories from this day and we're going to, you know, treasure those for sure. But, you know, Thursday or Friday of next week, we're back on the game for the championship.
And kind of a follow-up question, how does this compare to winning the championship in 2003?
Much more sweeter. This is much more sweeter because it comes, you know, you work 3 weeks solidly and it comes down to one day to get it and you know, have everything fall into place. It's quite special. There's not many people that, you know, have this happen. You know, for me, for a championship, it's different. I think, especially in 2003, for all us guys, it was a bit of a shock. You know, we came in as first year. It's not a shock for Chip and his team because they're, you know, great at winning championships. But for me, one for probably not liking ovals too much at that point and not had done, you know, extremely well on those at that point either, and coming in with, you know, cars that maybe people didn't think were the ones to have and things like that. But, you know, that year was definitely a shock, I think. So, you know, this is much sweeter. You know now what work goes into winning this race and how much effort everybody puts into it makes it much sweeter.
Scott, the reunification story so big. This the year that open wheel racing got its act together, everybody got together, and I'm sure in the future people will look back and say, this was the year, the marking of a new era. The significance of winning the first Indy 500 of that new era.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it's that's about all I'd say about it. You know, you've got to understand that these teams have, you know, not had much time. You know, they're at a disadvantage. You know, this race every year is very difficult to win, no matter who's in it. The depth of the field, I'd say, was much stronger this year. There's definitely a lot of talent out, you know, and with these new teams and drivers. But, you know, it's hard to sort of say, yeah, you know, we beat, you know, all the guys that came in, you know, kind of thing, because they haven't had much time. You know, I think next year is going to be just as tough to win. But, you know, that's the real year, I think, that everybody's going to be up to the level they're going to be. So it is nice to, you know, especially to win the first race in Homestead that way and then to win, you know, the first 500 of unification. But, you know, it's you can't take too much away from those guys.
Chip Weldon was pretty vague about what happened to his car. I'm over here to your left.
Yeah, no, I think we got a broken shock or something. We got something broken in it, you know. It's something's wrong with that car, I can tell you. I mean, you know, the thing just lost its speed all at once. First we thought we got rubber on the tires, and that wasn't it. And he kept complaining about the right rear of the corner of the car, the right rear corner. So I'll be interested to see there. We might have a broken shock or something.
Chip, over here.
Oh, sorry.
Me again.
Yes.
Now that you have four of the last eight Indy 500 winners in your stable, does it make up for maybe some lost opportunities you had in the latter part of last decade when you had such dominant teams? I mean, does that give you a level of satisfaction?
You don't think about that kind of thing. I mean, like I said, it's just I'm lucky to have all the drivers that drive for us. I'm lucky to have all of them. I'm lucky to be in the business that you know, when I got started in this business, or, you know, when I was telling someone yesterday, you know, the first time I came to Indianapolis, the Indianapolis 500, I was you know, 13 years old or something. The first time I came the year before I drove here in 1981. I think that was, you know, I don't know how many years ago, 26, 27 years ago or something. And you know, you, racing in those days was not, you know, you almost were embarrassed to tell people that that's, you know, they say, well, what do you do for a living? You know, and you say, well, I race cars, you know, and they kind of look at you a little crooked, you know, back in those days. It wasn't really you know, there were so few people in those days that it was not a respected industry or a respected sport. And so I'm just, like I said, I'm you know, here I am all these years later, and it's become what it's become, and it's special to be able to work with all those guys. And we're in this business for one reason. It's to win races and win championships and give back something to our sponsors. And I'm the luckiest guy on the planet about the sponsors that I have and the people I get to work with.
You've got just 4 or 5 minutes. So.
Okay. Having spent my share of time around the Team New Zealand sailing team, I was wondering when you guys are going to do the Haka Maori war dance for us up there.
If I still knew it, mate, that would be the problem. But I think there were some boys out here that were just doing it, right? Do you see that?
It doesn't count. It doesn't get you off the hook, Scott.
I forgot that about 20 years ago, man.
Maybe
I think I learned it in primary school, but that was about it.
That would have been a photo op.
This is for Chip and for Mike. On a day when the Indy 500 celebrated unity, you guys came here in 2000, and I'm sure that was a pretty gutsy move at that time to kind of come here and break ranks. And you guys were really the first major team to come back here. If you guys could kind of talk about having done that and now being here with the Unified Series and how satisfied both of you feel about that.
Winning the Indy 500, it's the biggest race in the world to win. And whether it's this year when we've had what we're calling unification, or whether it was in 2000 when we came here when we were still in another series, to us, we feel this is the most important race in the world to win. And to be blessed in this way to win it again is why we come here every year. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it's, you know, Bruce, I said this a few weeks ago, you know, we all lived and died a lot in those years of the split, and thank God can we please put it behind us, you know, put a period on that thing and let's move forward. It's you know, we lived during that time, but we died too, so I just soon forget about everything that's behind us in that respect. I'm happy that we're back together. I'm happy there's one IndyCar series. Unification is great, but you know, it's IndyCar racing again, okay? And those are there's nothing older than yesterday's news.
You know, one of the greatest things about the Indy 500 this year, outside of what we did today, is the fact that the people are back on Georgetown Road. You know, that's the barometer, really, when you think about it, and it always has been. When you have what goes on Georgetown Road happen on Saturday night, you know that people are interested. You know the people are here. It's awesome. And unification, if that's what you want to call it, is giving us what we need to make this the best thing in the world.
Scott, ultimately you work back around, but the pass that Vitor made, the sort of three wide thing, how aware of that were you? What did you notice? I mean, or did you just all of a sudden see him in it?
Well, sorry, I missed the last part. What did you say?
What did you notice? Did you how aware of what he was doing were you?
Yeah, I was aware, you know, what Vitor was up to the whole time. You know, the cars, you can see out of very well. They've got mirrors and things like that. And definitely people, you know, talking to you on the radio, you know exactly what he's up to. And I think that was when we were passing Ed. Is that right? Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah, he... you know, I think Ed was on older tires and maybe didn't have the speed that you know, we did on new tires, and you know, he definitely came from a long way back. They were a lot more trimmed out than us, I think. You know, the last, you know, 20-30 laps of the race, you could tell, you know, he was definitely very quick out front by himself. I tried a few runs at him, but I was in a leaner mixture and you know, came pretty close. I think we were pretty confident that we could get past him when we needed to. But I just wanted to sit back, save a bit of fuel, see how his car was over a longer stint, see if it went off, just because he had a bit less downforce than us. But anytime you're out there, you know what's going on. There's plenty of people yelling down your, yelling down the radios to let you know who's everywhere, and especially on a day like this, I think it's better, for us. We probably could have stayed in front of him at that point, but there was no point to squeeze a guy and have a chance of him maybe taking us out.
Well, on pole day, Elio Castroneves came in here and told the assembled media, we're not going back out because we don't have anything for them. And that was the statement of the month. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.